Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Good afternoon, and I want to thank Bob Mitchell for filling in for me for a couple of days. I had surgery last Tuesday for a broken ankle suffered in the motorcycle incident where the speeding motorcycle on the canal hit me and knocked me down. Look, the good news is I'm getting better. The bad news is if you've ever had anything like a broken ankle, you know how bad it is. And it is bad. I'm doing the show again from my apartment, which is not soundproof, so there's always a possibility that you'll hear sirens and cars and things like that. It's not something that you hear. You know, if you hear this on the radio, don't look around. It might not be coming from outside. Of course, it might be, so always look and be cautious. But, you know, years ago, a radio station got in serious trouble because the guy on the air was using, as a joke, he was using a siren. And it caused people to kind of panic because they thought the siren was coming from around their car, and it wasn't. So, you know, I live downtown. You could hear sirens and things like that. The windows open. It is a beautiful day. It's Wednesday. It's Ash Wednesday, the beginning of Lent for the Catholic Church and many Christians. And this is the day, ironically, of the beginning of the most solemn season on the Christian calendar, the church's calendar. And it follows total debauchery. I mean, it's hard to believe that all the stuff that goes on in the quarter, the day before, well, maybe not all of it, but you know what I mean. The stuff that goes on in the quarter, the stuff that goes on in the streets, the drinking, the partying, the parades, all of this is the beginning of Lent, a very solemn season, which leads up to the most joyous season on the Catholic and Christian calendar, which is, of course, Easter. And I know a lot of people were thinking that, hey, you know, Mardi Gras is really late this year, so it's going to be warm and we're going to have a lot of spring breakers here. I think people who wanted to be here, I think they came anyway. Because what little I saw, and I saw a little bit Saturday, my brother Miles came in from Mobile and wheeled me around a couple of places in the French Quarter, so I ran some errands and got out. And then I did meet with Trace Atkins, a country music star, before his ride on Monday in Orpheus, and we'll play that interview back later. But also, there were some interesting things that Trace Atkins had to say, and we'll play that back, and that will be part of our discussion this afternoon. As always, if you want to join us with a comment about anything we talk about this afternoon, our number is 260-1870. It's area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And we welcome those of you who are listening around the country on your phones, your tablets, and your computers. Could Mardi Gras happen in any other city? No, I don't think so. It's kind of like a Mardi Gras miracle. And it happens every year in New Orleans. And think about the massive crowd of people drinking excessively, confined to Bourbon Street, a relatively narrow street in the French Quarter of New Orleans. That seems to be the perfect recipe for disaster. A large crowd of people, excessive drinking, small, confined area. But that's New Orleans, and it's Mardi Gras Day, and it's okay. The New Orleans Police Department, Louisiana State Police, along with support of law enforcement from surrounding parishes, they are to be commended for the way they deal with us and the way they maintain order among the chaos. But the people who participate in Mardi Gras every year deserve credit, too. And I'm talking about you and me and everybody who participates in going to Mardi Gras and being part of that crowd. You know, we're all aware of the destruction that is part of celebrations for sports championships in other cities. We've seen it. And from our perspective, when we see that, we wonder, why does a celebration about a sports team's event, a victory, why does that lead to vandalism? You know, we see the stories about cars overturned and shattered store windows and fires. New Orleans, we celebrated the Super Bowl victory in 2010. It was a great celebration and basically without vandalism. Even when NOPD was not dealing with a police shortage of police officers, the massive crowds that gather annually for Mardi Gras and St. Patrick's Day and for the Saints' Super Bowl championship parade. These crowds far outnumber the police, which means that the crowd deserves some credit for the peaceful way that we party in the streets. During my conversation with country music star Trace Adkins on the day that he was to participate in his first Mardi Gras parade, the Crew of Orpheus, he said that this was his first Mardi Gras experience, and he said, quote, "I don't think there's an event anywhere in the country, in any other city, that compares to this." And he went on to talking about how he's traveled to every big city in America, and he said, "No other city comes together with one event. I've never seen it. It's unique to Louisiana. It's unique to New Orleans." And Trace Adkins is right, because Mardi Gras is unique to New Orleans. And when we say we know how to party, it's an idea that stretches beyond the physical pouring of and consumption of alcoholic beverages. It goes beyond the dressing up in crazy costumes. The most important aspect of that idea, we know how to party, is that we know how to come together and party without mass vandalism. There are problems when any large crowd gets together, and Mardi Gras is no exception. So there are some issues, that problems, and you may have seen some problems. But when you consider the sheer size of the crowd and the slight number of incidents, it is impossible to rationally argue that Mardi Gras is not a unique event that could happen in any other city. It happens here, though. The great irony is that New Orleans has a reputation of being a city plagued by violence. But that reality defies the peaceful overtones of big celebrations hosted by our city. Maybe this unique ability to peacefully party comes from the original meaning of the wearing of the masks during Mardi Gras. You know why masks were worn? Well, one theory is that masks were worn because at that time, cultures, classes of people were strictly separated. They were not allowed to intermingle. But if you wore a mask, you could not tell one class from another class. You couldn't tell from the rich from the poor. And everybody could get together and party. So at a time when classes were strictly separated, the wearing of the mask allowed everybody to come together. So that's one of the early origins of the Mardi Gras celebration. The relative peace that reigns over this huge celebration that we have in New Orleans may also be inspired by the concept of Southern hospitality, which is true. It's not a myth. It's true. I mean, there are exceptions. You and I know about that. But also, maybe it comes from a special fun-loving gene that is inherent in our DNA. Whatever the reason, it is the people, along with law enforcement, that create an environment and an atmosphere for massive celebrations to be awesome without violence breaking out. And let's not forget the amount of alcohol that is consumed every year during the celebration. And again, sometimes alcohol and a big crowd doesn't always mix. But we somehow seem to, for the most part, make it happen here. It's sad that there will be senseless violence between now and the next big unbridled celebration, which is St. Patrick's Day. In fact, there's a story from Terrytown of some kind of a mass killing, three people shot, three people dead, a number of people shot in the house, three people dead, and two were injured. Five people in the house shot, and three are dead. We'll find out more about that as the day goes on. But this unique ability to party in the streets will be on display once again when St. Patrick's Day comes up, which is not long from today. It's this month. So our ability to celebrate is more noticeable to visitors and to those who are new to the Metro New Orleans area, those of you who have lived here since Katrina or even before Katrina, but you weren't born here. But for those of us who grew up here, for those of us who have been here for a very, very long time, let us also recognize and appreciate this thing that we have going on here, and give it the same attention that we give some of the negative things about New Orleans. And I also want to hear about positive stories involving law enforcement, whether you were in the city, French Quarter, Uptown, Jefferson Parish, Slidell, wherever you were. If you have something positive to say about something that you saw during Mardi Gras, I want to talk about that this afternoon in this first hour. And I think it's only fair because so often the news is so focused on the negative things involving police officers. And sometimes police officers do negative things, and you got to focus on that. But let's also give equal time to the positive things that we see. And I do this once in a while, and I'm going to continue to do this once in a while, even though it is a lot easier to make the phones light up if it's something negative rather than something positive. So I'm challenging you, and I'm challenging us, to also notice the positive things about police officers as much as we notice the negative things. If you would like to join us with your comment this afternoon, our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870, and our text is 870-870. And as far as Mardi Gras is concerned, I think this song pretty much explains it all this afternoon on WWL. Yeah, Mayor Cantrell was there last night, and Police Chief Sean Ferguson was there. And, you know, this is a moment at midnight when the police tell you to go home. And, you know, for some of you who are used to last calls in other cities, that's not something that we're really used to here in New Orleans. And yet people do obey because you know, they tell you basically to go home at midnight. Now, my question is, I've never tested this, so I want you to tell me if this does happen. Do people actually just get off the street and sneak into bars and still continue to drink or have fun? I mean, they can't make you go home, really. But they do clear the street out, and Mardi Gras officially comes to an end at midnight, Mardi Gras Day. I guess it would be midnight, Ash Wednesday. Have you ever been there at midnight? Were you there last night? Have you ever been there at midnight when you were told to go home? And did you go home? You probably should have, but did you? Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Also, I want to mention something else. We always associate Mardi Gras with drinking. And yet, there are a lot of people who don't drink. Maybe at one point they did drink. There are people who have an issue with alcoholism. They're alcoholics. And they used to drink. Do these people still not go out and have fun? They do. Most of the time I'm in the quarter, I'm not drunk. Once in a while, I'll have a glass of wine or two or so, but I'm not drunk. And sometimes, honestly, sometimes it's really funny being the sober one around a bunch of people who are drunk. Do you have to drink to enjoy Mardi Gras? I'd like to also talk to some of you who have had issues with alcohol, and you're proud of where you are now. You quit drinking, and yet you still go out and party and have a good time. Because I never want to give this impression that you can't have fun unless you drink. Our number is 260-1870, area code 504-260-1870. And our text is 870-870. And from Gentilly, Justin, welcome to WWL. Happy Ash Wednesday.
Happy Ash Wednesday, Scoot. And yeah, you are
I don't know if Happy Ash Wednesday is appropriate, because this is the day that we're reminded that we came from nothing and we're basically going to return to nothing, at least our body. So I don't know if it's a happy thing.
Look, anybody who survives Mardi Gras Day and gets to Ash Wednesday should be happy.
Well, you're damn right about that.
And also, I want to tell you that since WWL Radio had to set up the broadcast in your apartment, it's coming out of your paycheck.
Oh my God! But don't give them any ideas, because you know they may do that. This also may lend to great new deductions for me on my income tax next year. Because this is where
well,
I'm doing my show.
Great! I'm glad you're alive, man.
This
anybody who
officer.
Gets hit by a speeding motorcycle and launched 40 feet and can walk away from it, and God bless you for that, baby.
Well, Justin, thank you. I want to thank all of you who came up to me over the weekend, the few times that I was out. And I did make it to Orpheus Escapade, the Orpheus Ball.
I heard that, yeah.
At the Montreal Convention Center, made it there. I wasn't able to walk around, but I sat down. But a lot of people came over and wanted to do just pictures and wanted to just say hi and say that they were praying for me. I want you all to know how much I appreciate that. And I love meeting all of you, because when I meet any of you in any situation, I put a face with the audience.
Well, we love you, Scoot. We're glad you're alive. Okay.
Appreciate it, Justin.
Anyway, real quickly, I want to, since everybody's talking about Mardi Gras still, even though it's Mardi Gras yesterday, I have a Mardi Gras story that happened way back in 1982.
Okay.
You ready?
Yeah.
I had gone to school at Shreveport, and I moved back home. Well, I had some friends at Shreveport who call me. And they say, Justin, we're coming down to Mardi Gras, but we've never been there before. Can you tell us what to do? Well, I let them stay at my house. I had all rooms for all of them. So So they come down, and this is Mardi Gras day, and I didn't drink. Well, I was the driver. I was a designated driver. So they were like drinking beers, and I was just drinking Sprite. So I drive down to the French Quarter. We went to the French Quarter of all things. I said, you want to see Mardi Gras? This is what Mardi Gras is like. Well, we would spend like 3 hours there. By it was like 9 o'clock p.m. Mardi Gras night, and I was exhausted. I said, "Look, I got to get home. I'm tired." So they said, "So we went home. I drove all of us home, and I drive home." And they say, "We want to go back." I said, "We got to take a taxi cab." And also, I told them, at 12 midnight, you have to get off the streets. Well, they left. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm listening.
Okay. Well, anyway, they went back out. They took a taxi cab. There's like four of my friends. And they went back out. And the next morning, Ash Wednesday, I wake up at like 9 o'clock in the morning. I said, oh, my God, where are my friends? I went and checked the rooms. They were all there alive and well. Thank God.
You know, that's the person to thank when you wake up alive the next day. And then, look, let's be honest. There are some people who woke up today and maybe they wish they were dead because of what they did yesterday. From Slidell, Jeremy, got time for a quick comment before news. Welcome to the show.
Hey, thanks, Coot. How you doing?
I'm good.
Good. I had a really good time yesterday. You know, the first time going to New Orleans for Mardi Gras, and I was wondering, did they have a gay ball for people like you yesterday? Where did you go for that, too?
Well, they don't have a gay ball. I guess they do have a gay ball. I'm not really sure which one it is, but as you know, I was not able to get out. They have, you know, the gay drag queen fashion show and all of that stuff. So they have a lot of festivities for gays in the quarter. But it's also a lot of fun for just about everybody. Also, it would be fun to talk to some of you as we get started here this afternoon if it was your first Mardi Gras. Because there are a lot of people who move to this area all the time, and we're always hearing about how new people are moving here. Did you experience Mardi Gras for the first time, and how would you describe it? Here is what it sounded like last night when the police made that announcement. And again, I would love to talk to somebody who's actually been there at midnight when the cops tell you to go home. Do you really get in your car and go home? I mean, not everybody out there should, but do you do that? But this is what it sounded like last night when NOPD was marching down the street from the beginning of Bourbon Street telling people Mardi Gras is over.
Mardi Gras 2019 is officially over. Please clear the street. Thank you.
Mardi Gras 2019 is over. It's time to go home. I mean, that just, you know, that's a real buzzkill if you've been out there, like, you know, partying all day and having a great time. Also, what would a national report sound like from the network news? We've got a report from CBS News coming up after our news, and I'll let you know what they were talking about when it comes to New Orleans. They were dealing with, in this particular report, they were dealing with one of the specific themes for Mardi Gras costumes. And there was a specific theme that was very creative, very predictable. We talked about how this would be one of the big costumes, and it sure was. Also, later this afternoon, we'll talk about R. Kelly. And I've got some highlights of that interview, the interview that he did with Gayle King from CBS News. And then we'll also talk about the people who are now talking about Michael Jackson in the aftermath of the HBO special Leaving Neverland. That was Michael Jackson's place in Southern California. And I saw some of it, didn't see all of it last night, but wow, it's very convincing. I'm Scoot. If you're on hold, hang on. We're coming back on WWL. Isn't that what we do on Mardi Gras? I mean, we come together. You know, you might be standing next to a liberal. You might be standing next to a conservative. And we really don't care. And I personally think we need to pay more attention to those times every day. It's okay for us to have different opinions. It's okay for you to vote for somebody and for me to vote for somebody else. That's fine. That's all part of America. But let's think about the times that we come together. Think about the times that we are with each other and we don't care what your politics is or your politics are. We're talking about Mardi Gras. The day after, it's Ash Wednesday. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870. Were you a first-timer? Did you experience Mardi Gras for the very first time? Have you ever been on Bourbon Street when they come down and tell you to go home? And did you actually go home? And were you there last night? And also, Does anybody have a positive story about something they saw with a police officer, with law enforcement, anywhere in the greater New Orleans area? There's so much talk about the negative things involving police officers that I occasionally on this show look for opportunities to talk about the positive things. And I know there were positive things that took place with police officers over the Mardi Gras weekend. So if you saw something yesterday or over the holiday weekend, Mardi Gras weekend, share the story with us so we pay attention to the positive stuff and not just the negative stuff. I think that's only fair. Our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From New Orleans, Janice, welcome to our show.
Yes, Scoot. It's good to hear you on the air again, man. It really is.
Well, thank you. It's so good to be here.
Glad to hear your voice.
Thanks.
Yes, I'm sure. Now, here is something before that you let go, and I know why you did. I understand why you did. Please don't get upset with me for addressing this. I feel the need to. Now, for the gentleman that called earlier, I hope you're still listening, sir. You asked Scoot if there was a gay ball for people like him. Now, I caught that right away. Now, I have news for you. There's something called defamation of character. This man is not gay, first of all and foremost. But if he was, it wouldn't be any of your business. He just got hit 3 weeks ago by a motorcycle, and he's having a rough time right now, and you're going to call up and do something like that, huh? Well, like I said, there's something called defamation of character. Now, would you like it if I accused you of being a pedophile?
Janice, look, I appreciate you standing up for me. As you know, I appreciate it. It's not necessary because I deal with that, and there are a few serial callers that try to.
They need to be banned. They need to be banned. They should not be put through onto the air.
Well, we can't always.
They're ugly people.
We can't always tell, Janice. I really do appreciate the call. You know, people tell. Today, our studio producer is Ian Hoke, and he's not a call screener in terms of screening opinions. I mean, I go to calls regardless of what the opinion is. But he's there to, well, what is it? Where are you calling from, and what do you want to talk about? That's it. And so there are people who make stuff up, and so they end up getting on the air. And I choose not to dump it because I don't want to interrupt the show unless I have to. And according to the FCC, if somebody drops the F-bomb or the S-bomb or something like that, well, we have to dump that, but we don't have to dump everything. And, you know, we've dealt with this on the air before. I don't feel the need to take up too much time dealing with it again. But I just think it's so interesting how some people are so infatuated with my sexual orientation. And I don't get it. And this is something that has followed me for my entire career. From Metairie, Bill, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot. How you doing? I just want to let you know, man, as long as they don't call you late for dinner, you're in good shit. You know what I mean?
I really don't.
Motto. Call me whatever you want. I don't care.
I can't let it bother me.
They said you wanted somebody that was actually there the day it closed, Berber Street, last night.
Yeah,
and talk to those people. You probably have to wait around 5 o'clock when they wake up. But since I went about 10 years ago, I can tell you they closed. I went exactly for that reason to see Berber Street closed, and went and they did exactly what you see. And everybody goes in a bar. It's like cockroaches. Everybody disappears, and the street is almost empty. And then and once the police get out of sight, everybody starts coming out of.
Seriously?
Out of the bars and start walking around. Yeah, it's
seriously.
It's
so they did.
A lot of people leave. A lot of people, I guess, that don't know any better, leave. They, you know, a lot of tourists, but the locals that know better, they just come back out and start bar hopping from one to the other.
So it's really more of a symbolic thing that Mardi Gras is over than it is a legal thing.
Yeah, right.
Because
right,
I don't think it's constitutional to tell people they have to go home.
Well, like, you know, I don't know. In every place else, as far as I know, except for New Orleans and Louisiana, closed at 2 o'clock. So they, when they close at 2 o'clock, the people that own the bar will tell you, you know, it's closing time, you need to get out. So I think it's pretty much the same thing. But I just wanted to pass that on to you, and, have a good day.
All right, Bill, I appreciate the call. You know, Vegas, you can drink all night in Vegas, right? I mean, I've only been in a casino. Can you go outside of a casino and drink all night? Because it really is unusual that we have closing time here in New Orleans because we don't have last call time. I mean, bars can close in New Orleans whenever they want to. And having lived all over the country, I mean, even in a place like Los Angeles, a lot of partying goes on there. They have after parties. And that's what a lot of people do. They have after. It's not that people stop. It's just that they don't go to a bar and party. And sometimes it's safer when you're at somebody's apartment or somebody's house at an after party than when you're out. Okay, so I'm going to share a national story with you coming from CBS News when we come back after the break. If you want to join us, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. Yeah, we're going to talk about R. Kelly and Michael Jackson. These are two people who may be giving love a bad name because it really ain't love. And I love what R. Kelly said, something like, I never abused anybody, but if they're underage, it doesn't matter if you treated them with tender, loving care or not. It's still illegal. And we've got some highlights coming up in the next hour from R. Kelly's interview on CBS This Morning with Gayle King. I'm Scooch. We'll be right back on WWL. Mardi Gras Day. I mean, it's the best of times. If you don't want to participate, you don't have to. But man, if you want to participate, it is there. It is a celebration unique to New Orleans. I wrote an op-ed blog, and I have to call it an op-ed blog because somebody's going to disagree. Could Mardi Gras happen in any other city? And I say it couldn't. Because of our tradition, because of who we are, because of the fun-loving gene in our DNA, because of our Southern hospitality, because of the very beginning of Mardi Gras and the wearing of masks was to allow the classes, the different cultures to mix together on one day. It's because of all those reasons that this is just so steeped in New Orleans history and in our culture, and it could not happen everywhere. We're talking about positive stories involving police officers. I'd love to hear one if you had a positive story about a police officer, because there are a lot of good things that happen, and we so often focus on the negative that let's use opportunities like this, and I always try to talk about the positive things involving police officers. But before we do that, here is a story from Pam Coulter in CBS News, and this is a story about, this is going out nationwide, this is about some coverage of Mardi Gras in New Orleans.
The Mardi Gras celebration has shown New Orleans is still not over the blown call that kept the Saints from going to the Super Bowl. Among the Fat Tuesday costumes seen in the city are blind referees and yellow penalty flags. After the Saints game against the Rams, NFL officials acknowledged flags should have been thrown when a Rams defensive back leveled a Saints receiver with a helmet-to-helmet hit. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
Yeah, I mean, I saw that everywhere, and I'm sure you did as well. By the way, the op-ed blog that some people will actually disagree with is on our website, WWL.com. And also the interview that I did with Trace Atkins is on the Scoot page, which is just go to the top bar there. There's a menu there. Click on shows and click on my picture, and it is there. Scott, you're on WWL. Good afternoon, Scott.
Good afternoon, Scoot. So great to hear you back.
Appreciate it. It's good to be back.
A long-time listener from the 1970s, but first-time caller to you on WWL.
Wow, appreciate that, Scott. Thanks.
I've got an extremely positive NOPD story that I did not witness firsthand, but I saw the video on WWLTV.com and The Advocate. The officer's name is Walter Edmond, and it was during the Zulu parade. He saw a young 7-year-old girl by the name of Malaysia Edwards behind a barricade at the point in the parade where everyone was behind the barricades. Mm-hmm. And she was crying because she could not catch any beads or anything else. So he took her, lifted her over the barricade, brought her in front of the float, and she mm-hmm. caught a whole bunch of stuff, and it was all caught on video, and he brought her back to his parents, and it was just a beautiful thing to watch.
What a great story. And I love that we have the opportunity to tell those stories, because these are the things that counter the negative stories out about the police that seem to always get more attention.
Absolutely. And I've got one other thing for you, Scoot.
Go ahead.
A quick prayer for you, buddy. It's not for me. It's from the Book of Common Prayer.
Okay.
Oh, Lord, your compassions never fail, and your mercies are new every morning. We give you thanks for giving our brother Scoot both relief from pain and hope of health renewed. Continued in him, we pray, the good work you have begun, that he, daily increasing in bodily strength and rejoicing in your goodness, may so order his life and conduct that he may always think and do those things that please you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And you said once, I caught you once, that you had plenty of life left in you. Be on the lookout for bigger and better things, Scoot, right, because I know something's coming that's going to be bigger and better than even what you're doing now. God bless and take care.
Scott, I appreciate it, and I am so honored that you would choose to say that prayer with me in mind. All right, if you're on hold, hang on. I've got to take a break here. We're coming right back with more of your comments. Also, later in the show, we're going to talk about R. Kelly. We're going to talk about Michael Jackson and this new documentary, Leaving Neverland, which is amazing. This is Trace Adkins, and he was part of the entertainment of Orpheus Escapade. Over the weekend. Monday night. This is a song called Arlington, and it's a song about being buried at Arlington Cemetery. There was a lot of controversy over this song, and I did ask Trace about that when I talked to him. We'll play that part of the interview back later in the show. So we've got a lot going on this afternoon. I'm Scoot. Stay with us, and we'll be back on WWL. What a beautiful afternoon. And hey, here's the good news. It feels like a Monday, but it's already Wednesday, so the weekend is almost here. I'm Scoot. We've got a couple of things going on here, and one of the things that I want to encourage this afternoon is for you to talk about a positive thing that you witnessed during Mardi Gras with a police officer, with law enforcement, anywhere. New Orleans, French Quarter, Uptown, Jefferson Parish, North Shore, anywhere. Anywhere there was a parade in law enforcement. Did you see something positive that you would like to share with us? Because, again, police officers quite often are at one end of the story, and it's the negative end of a story, and it's the negative stories that always get so much attention that I like to use this show when we can, and we often do it, to point out the positive things that police officers do. Coming up, we'll talk about R. Kelly. We'll talk about the Michael Jackson documentary. I saw some of it. I didn't see all of it. I recorded it, so I'll see more of it today. But, it's kind of creepy, to say the least. If you've got a comment, our number is 260-1870, and our text is 870-870. From the Marini, Eric, welcome to our show.
How you doing, Scoot?
I'm good.
You know it's good to hear your voice, right?
Well, it's good to be here.
I want to talk about something that happened to me. I think it was Wednesday night. I put into a really difficult situation on Decatur Street.
Yeah.
I'm a busker. I work on the street. Okay. You know, play guitar,
What is it that you do? What is it that you do on the street?
I work on Frenchman Street, right?
Okay. All right.
But there was a really traumatic situation. This person may or may not have passed on, we'll say, right?
Okay.
And when the cops came, they were the nicest people in the entire world, right?
Yeah.
They were thanking me so much for what I had done and the fast movement that I had made. And I was just, respect, appreciation. The NOPD, some of these people can be the nicest people in the entire world. They take their job so seriously. I just want to thank the NOPD because, I went out yesterday. I have a crew to couch. If you were at the St. Anne Parade last night on Royal, we had five couches out there. I think we drank, 50 bottles of champagne? And you know what? The cops were like, yo, you're good to go. Yeah.
All right, Eric, I appreciate you sharing that with us. Take care of those sniffles. By the way, Mardi Gras in the Marini is crazy. I mean, look, there are a lot of local people on Bourbon Street. And, we'll do a show on this sometime soon, but I've seen Bourbon Street evolve over the years. And there was a time when it was only tourists. And Bourbon Street is a place where a lot of locals go, but also a lot of locals have been pushed to the Marini, to Frenchman Street. And there's really some cool stuff going on there as well. From Metairie, James, you're on WWL. I've got time for a quick comment.
Sure. Sure. Hey, thanks very much, Scoot. Glad to hear you back. First of all, Mardi Gras turned out to be from the very first part of the day was not pleasant. It cost me $52 to park, Scoot, for 10 hours at Conti and Rampart. Oh. I think that's outrageous to charge that much. But anyway, I got out of the lot and I went and started walking around the quarter. I walked in front of the cathedral, and there was this black female police officer. And Scoot, I just said hello to her, and from time to time I'll tell them, "Hey, I appreciate what you're doing." And Scoot, she was the kindest, most understanding woman, And I said, "I know you're cold. I know you're going to be working long hours." But she was just so, she didn't know if I was a tourist or a local or not.
Yeah.
But it was a very, very, very unpleasant. And they're not all like that. Heck, we're not all like that, the civilians. So
no, that's certainly true.
A credit to the force.
James, I really appreciate that comment. This is what we do, and it allows us to counter the disproportionate amount of attention negative news gets when it comes to police officers by talking about some of the positive stuff. Okay, so R. Kelly, rhythm and blues artist R. Kelly, arguably a superstar in that genre, really had an explosive interview with Gayle King on CBS. We've got some of the highlights, and we'll talk about it when we come back. I'm Scoot. It's Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, day after Mardi Gras on WWL.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.